And this next section begins, How Child Rearing Crushes Spontaneous Feelings, Glimpses of a Revered Tradition, Poisonous Pedagogy. Anyone who's ever been a mother or father, and is at all honest, knows from experience how difficult it can be for parents to accept certain aspects of their children. And I comment here to statements from academia about what humans are. We must always add the qualifier underclass, the non-class society, and both those that among indigenous peoples, and certainly the one we must invent altogether globally, is a completely different animal. Continuing, it is especially painful to have to admit this if we really love our child and want to respect his or her individuality, yet are unable to do so. Intellectual knowledge is no guarantee of understanding and tolerance. If it was never possible for us to relive on a conscious level the rejection we experienced in our own childhood and to work it through, then we in turn will pass this rejection on to our children. A merely intellectual knowledge of the laws of child development does not protect us from irritation or anger if our child's behavior does not correspond to our expectations or needs, or if, even worse, it should pose a threat to our defense mechanisms. And my comment, the challenge for us to begin thinking through is how to begin doing this, reliving on a conscious level the rejection we experienced in our own childhood and to work it through on a society-wide scale. As we gain access to new information, and as we therefore begin to give ourselves new messages, tell ourselves new stories, we'll be considering that the feelings of anger and sadness that we repressed as children, and perhaps I might throw in there confusion. Anger and sadness at our psychic and physical abandonment by parents turned over to a coerced work system. And again, this is not specific folk because each person's experience is very diverse. I'm sure there's a lot of folk who had available parents in every sense of the word. But we're talking about patterns, deep patterns, and in a class system, when we are forced to subject ourselves to the regime of rule, to authority, that does require abandonment of our children. For the most part, that is everyone's reality to some degree. Because as parents, we are trapped in the dilemma of simple survival on an abundant earth. That those feelings I'm asking us to consider, that we need to unlock, provide the source for our anger and sadness at the broader injustices of the world, and are the source, therefore, of our love for and determination to defend our brothers and sisters trapped in this injustice. And we're going to be developing that thought in our upcoming shows. Continuing, it's very different for children. They have no previous history standing in their way. And their tolerance for their parents knows no bounds. The love a child has for his or her parents ensures that their conscious or unconscious acts, that they're the parents, conscious or unconscious acts of mental cruelty will go undetected. Descriptions of what can be done to children without fear of reprisal are readily available in recent works dealing with the history of childhood. For example, Philip Aries, Lloyd DeMoss, Morton Schatzman, Ray E. Helfer, and C. Henry Kemp. The former practice of physically maiming, exploiting, and abusing children under class, my addition there, seems to have been gradually replaced in modern times by a form of mental cruelty that is masked by the honorific term child rearing. Since training in many cultures begins in infancy during the initial symbiotic relationship between mother and child, this early conditioning makes it virtually impossible for the child to discover what is actually happening to him. The child's dependence on his or her parents' love also makes it impossible in later years to recognize these traumatizations, which often remain hidden behind the early idealization of the parents for the rest of the child's life.